Now, Orson Welles once described the power of cinema as 24 frames a second. A lot of great edits. It's actually very difficult to detect. I mean, it's almost like a magician that goes unrecognized. Is that part of the reason why you decided to do this documentary?
Yeah, I think it very much is, because it's often called the art of the invisible editing. And of course, film editing is the only part of filmmaking that is actually completely unique to filmmaking, putting all these images and sounds and music together. And the people that do this magic, they very rarely get the recognition they deserve. And in Jill Bidcock, we have one of the most amazing film artists, not just in Australia, but in the world, but so few people know of her. When I met her, I thought this is an incredible chance to tell not just a story of film editing, but also the story of this great woman.
As a film editor yourself, can you describe why Jill Bidcock is such an important talent?
Well, in the 90s, when I first came to Australia, films like Muriel's Wedding and Romeo and Juliet, they were so talked about. And for the first time in my life, people were talking about the editing and what made those films so special. I think what she did on those films, especially on Romeo and Juliet, made people really sit up and take notice to the way the film had been put together. And that happens very rarely. So she became, at least in filmmaking circles, a kind of household name, but only within the filmmaking circles. I really wanted to kind of express how important she has been to Australian cinema and to worldwide cinema in what she did with those films, especially with Baz Luhrmann, because they reached a very wide audience overseas as well. And she really took a brave choice in those films, editing very fast, but very much in the service of Shakespeare's language in Romeo and Juliet. And I thought that has to be somehow explored.
Particularly as this documentary depicts, just indicates how important Jill actually was to the development of the career of Baz. You talked about editing in Romeo and Juliet and how, you know, she's able to use digital editing medium in a way that hadn't really been used that often. I mean, it was very pioneering.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, before digital editing, of course, we worked with actual film. You would splice and cut the physical film itself. And that was very labor-intensive, and every choice is crucial. It still is crucial. But with digital editing, you can suddenly start to play around with the footage much quicker, and you don't damage the footage as much in trying different versions and different... And she really took that to a completely new level. She just pushed it and made those scenes sing in a way that I think we hadn't really seen before. So digital editing was a breakthrough to how you can conceive stories in filmmaking.
Jill obviously has worked through like a substantial change in technology. Obviously, as you said, you no longer have to actually physically cut negatives. Do you think the fact that she'd you know, gone through, you know, an apprenticeship working with Fred Skepsi, etc., and she'd worked a lot on actually physically editing, and she had built substantial knowledge of how film language works, do you think that was part of the reason that she was able to sort of apply this new technology so innovatively?
Oh, absolutely. And the way she cuts today, she still feels like it's like touching the vision itself. The particular program she uses is all about the image itself. And I think all those films and all the commercials and music videos that she did before she really got into feature filmmaking has developed her sense of using digital editing. So absolutely, she has been watching images and been affected by images for so long that she can react to them emotionally very quickly and make choices that are brave, bold, and exciting. What the directors have said?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a lot of them have referred to Jill as just one of the best dance partners. But having Jill by your side, it's like she helps you find your own voice in what you're trying to say. She really finds something deeper in the material that you've shot. She pushes for your vision harder than anyone else on the crew. So if she says yes to you, you'll have one of the best colleagues and partners you could possibly want in trying to get the best material out of the films. Time and time again from actors and producers and directors, I've heard this, that when Jill says yes, you will get some incredible rich stories out of it.
Now, I believe that like there's the example of Moulin Rouge, the opening sequence, that was, I think it was like this, she did like 16 cuts and then she did like a 17th cut. Yeah. What is that like? I mean, you're an editor yourself. How does that process go? I mean, when you are just getting sort of immersed, how do you rejuvenate sort of creatively when you don't want to be sort of getting caught in a sort of rut of just doing the same thing?
I think this is one of the most amazing aspects of Jill, and I guess any great editor, is that you're able to come in each day and just look at things fresh and say to yourself, okay, how can I make this more exciting for the audience? And especially the opening of a film, it's the only chance you have to really grab an audience and say, I want you to sit here for the next hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and be enthralled by the story. And the opening and the ending, if you don't nail them, then you don't really have a great tale to be told. I think in the case of Moulin Rouge, what I've done so far, we can push it harder, we can make it faster. And the rest of the film that you're cutting informs what the opening should be as well. So of course you would have seen that we're not hitting the mark yet. We need to keep pushing it. And I think Baz and Jill together, they create this fervor of, let's make it faster, let's make it more exciting for the audience and really tell them, do you want to get on board? Do you want to be part of this experience? Well, here it is, here's the film. And I think they just didn't give up until they got there.
Jill would have been the situation too. I've actually had to challenge that director to actually justify why that particular shot. I'm sure that they have sort of, I mean, Henry James has that thing about writing that you have to kill your darlings in those favourite bits of prose that you might like but don't really sort of go anywhere else for other people. Is that also an important part of editing process, is to be able to say to editor, look, that isn't working?
Absolutely. You have to tell the filmmaker or the producer sometimes too that, I'm sorry, but the money we spent on this helicopter shot that took so long to set up, it just isn't helping to tell the story. And you have to be the brave person in the room to say, look, there's another way to do this. There's a better way of doing it that will affect the audience in a way that you actually want to. On Red Dog, for example, there's a sequence in the film where Jill, she had to tell Kriv Stenders, the director of that great film, there's another way of cutting the dog or cutting into this scene that makes it more exciting to go along on this journey. And if you're afraid to express those things, then I don't think you can be a good film editor. You have to be the best defender of the film itself.
In this documentary, you also go through the journey of Jill's career from starting as from a technical college student when, like, I think it was like the first film unit, Swinburne. It's also interesting, it has that very much that history of Australian film. At the time, there really wasn't a film industry.
Jill's story very much is a story of the re-emergence of Australian cinema, Australian filmmaking, because when she came out of Swinburne in 1968, I think it was, the only way to get your hands on film and work with film was advertising. There wasn't any sustained filmmaking activity happening in Australia, and it started slowly starting up around that time. And working with Fred Skepsey at the Film House, which was very much a commercial house, they got into narrative filmmaking, and she was part of that journey. She was part of the cutting team of those early films that he was making. And I think it's really exciting to have the opportunity in this film to show that we didn't really have a national cinema at the time when Jill came out of uni. And tracing that to me was very important in the film.
Australia's also is really well known for its technical practitioners in film, whether that be the sound artists or cinematographers. Why do you think this country has been able to produce so much talent that's been able to flourish internationally?
I just think Australian filmmakers are great team players. We like to get down and dirty and just really treat the process with a lot of respect, but also with a lot of fun and a lot of inquisitiveness. I think we always try and chase personal bests, like how can I improve what I did in the last film? And we don't really always subscribe to rules. I think that's very important. And Jill is similar. Like, how can I somehow tell this story in a new way? And if you're a film editor, you're a cinematographer, or a director or producer, you really look for chances to break out of your own mold, but also how do we tell stories that can reach a bigger audience? I mean, Australia physically is a big country, but our industry is small. So whenever you want to get a story out into the world, you have to somehow come up with something that is different, that feels fresh. And that kind of mindset, I think, breeds filmmakers that try that extra bit, that go a bit further.